CliffCentral.com.
It is Monday. We are live, and this morning we're also live on YouTube, which is going to be quite exciting. A whole new thing there. Going to be a whole new audience of people on YouTube to listen to us and watch us now. I don't know why it's taken us so long, but it has, and here we are, finally. You know, we usually...
Yeah, you're right.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, we were pioneers in most aspects.
Right.
But, you know, there's a YouTube channel I watch called... I think it's Dutch. Staren de Tube. The Stars of the Tube.
Staren
de
Tube.
And now we can finally be Staren de Tube, you know?
Exactly.
I've always wanted to be a Staren de Tube.
How the hell do you end up watching something called Staren de Tube? How do you even find that?
Oh, it's a good daily fix of everything that's happening on the internet. You won't miss anything.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Do they speak in Dutch?
No, they don't speak. It's just a number of clips put together.
Oh, they don't speak?
They do like a best of the day, and then they do a best of the week and a best of the month. But that way you'll never miss the best animal videos. And it just takes up a few minutes of your day.
All right.
Huh.
I'm up for that.
Snowing, best fails, best wins, cute videos, serious ones. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
You just said best wind. So is that like a fart competition or something that we don't know about?
You know, it's funny you say that. Last night I fell asleep to watching fart TikToks.
I don't even want to know. Actually, I do. Tell me what it is.
No, so there's one of the trends is to fart in front of your boyfriend for the first time and record it.
No,
it's so funny. I want to die, because obviously, you know, if it's a girl guy situation, the girl's supposed to be the lady, and so when she farts, it's just funnier, and she usually finds it funnier, and he's disgusted and leaves the room. But yeah, it's pretty funny to watch. I had a few tears before I slept.
Yeah. We've discussed this so many times, but like your separate bathrooms is a big key to some of the most successful marriages in the world. That's obviously if you can afford separate bathrooms, or there's got to be use of a different place by one of the partners in question. And there's something so funny about farts, but not funny when it's your significant other, your life partner. Suddenly it just isn't funny anymore.
Look, it's inevitable. So, you know, let your first time, if not by accident, be recorded. It's one for the books. You can keep it in the flip file. And then it's over and done with. And if it happens again by mistake, it happens again.
So it's a brand new month. It's the 1st of March already. And there's a lot to get stuck into this morning. We obviously want to hear from you, 0797482090, if you want to do the WhatsApp line. Otherwise, you can also get hold of us on the webinar jam, as you may have been doing for some time already, or as from today on YouTube, where we'll be monitoring the comments as well. So if you've got anything you want to say, anything you want to throw into the hat, then you can do that too. Very exciting. Very exciting.
Yay. It's a whole new world.
They did warn me that we can't play music if we're on YouTube, because we'll be, there's like a 3-strike policy. So if you infringe copyright 3 times, you're off. They'll permanently block you. And we've got 1 strike already, even though we hadn't even started.
Oh.
It's from a video that was posted years ago or something.
So we've already got like 1 demerit. We're like entering the teacher's class with a black mark next to our names. And then we've got 2 chances left. And I'm just worried that if YouTube and their algorithm picks up Sia's singing, they're going to think that we're copying the noises of hell. And then they're going to shut us down for being immoral and unethical and dangerous and all of that stuff. So
a no new singing.
Fantastic point of view.
See, already.
This is what we'll have to work with now, folks. See. It's either we fine tune my voice or there's no music at all.
I can see the devils and the demons circling right now. Whenever Sia opens up his mouth to sing. Anyway, so how was everybody's weekend?
Jeez, I had a lot going on this weekend. I feel like I need a weekend from my weekend.
You were very social?
Very social, a lot of things happening with the family. I had a lot of errands to run.
Yeah.
But everything, it felt like I had just thing after thing after thing. I think I only watched an episode of a series I'm currently watching. And that was it, really.
Well, that means you had a busy weekend, because usually over, you know, on a Monday, you spend your time thinking about how much of your time you wasted just lying in front of the TV or whatever. But there is good news. If you were lying in front of the TV last night at 8 o'clock, you would have seen the president on. And the president, the president said that we are going to level one. And that means that everything goes more or less back to normal, except we still have a curfew, I think, from midnight to four, which is like crazy. I mean, I don't know. I think that that's really just a way for them to, I suppose, keep the criminals at bay for an extra few hours at night. I can't think of anything else.
It's to stop all those people who want to go to gym at 3 a.m. and get a head start on us.
Ah,
those evil ones, aren't they?
It's basically to mess with them, right?
Yeah.
I wondered what it was. That makes sense. And of course, we know the coronavirus is really at its most dangerous between 12 and 4 in the morning. That's when it's at its most virulent.
Yes.
Everybody knows.
It's got extra wings and it flies around faster. No,
and teeth, and very long teeth, and you know.
Hashtag misinformation, people.
I know. We're going to be called a conspiracy theory channel if we're not careful, because that's happened before.
Oh,
you know, anytime
only 8 minutes into it.
I know. Anytime you bring up anything that isn't stamped and approved by Dr. Fauci, then you or the World Health Organization, then you know, even if you're joking. There's this group of people trolling the internet, and they will go and find you, and they will say, "Oh, conspiracy theory, shut them down." You know, it's like a pitchfork-bearing mob. Anyway, brand new month, level one. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's lots to talk about today. We want to hear from you. 0797482090. So you
didn't
have...
make much of a difference for you going down to level one?
Not really. I mean, I don't know what's I don't know what I've been looking forward to. Apparently, you can gather more than 100 people indoors and 200 people outdoors, but
250.
But I'm quite happy to not go back to that anytime soon.
I think you can now buy alcohol on weekends.
Oh, yes.
So you don't have to stash everything on a Thursday or stock up.
Right.
But that's apart from Sunday, as it normally was.
I think so. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, back to the stables of what the Bible taught us. So the other thing is
yes, because we're such a good group of religious people, we've been following those rules too.
Absolutely.
The other thing is, it helps on a micro level everyone to start working better and more efficiently, especially those people who need to be in their offices. It helps them earn more, and it helps us spend more. So it just gets the economy going a bit more.
Okay, well, I don't know that it's going to make that much difference to most people. I still haven't done any kind of event, and by event, I mean anything bigger than like 10, maybe 15 people in a place since March last year. So it's been a whole year since I was in a place where there were more than maybe 10, 15, even at a maximum 20 people. And that includes, I'm trying to think back to all the things I've possibly been at. There've been one or two birthday parties where there may have been just shy of 20 people, but I don't think I've been around more than that. And I'm not in a hurry. I know that the bars and restaurants are definitely starting to open up, and people are easing up on, you know, kind of being in crowds like that, which is awesome, because they've got to get going, and we've got to help those places to recover, the ones that have survived. But I don't know. I mean, it's still on my agenda to do that stuff. I don't know. Does it make any difference to you?
Not to my life directly, but I think of people who have had to put their weddings on pause, for example.
Oh, yeah.
Now you can have an outdoor wedding and you invite 250 people. Funerals are still a bit of
Is it 250 or is it 200?
250 people outside, 100 people inside.
Oh, well, that changes everything. I was going to have, 250 people here, but now I now that I know that that's legal, I'll maybe just round it down to 200.
Sure. Funerals, you still can't have late night vigils and you can't have, you know, people over the evening before the funeral. So I think you can just have the funeral service of 100 odd people. But yeah, I'm thinking of things like that. So can now have mini graduation parties?
Planning a funeral, Sia? That sounds almost to me like you were planning something. Is this someone's funeral?
You never know when you have to, Gareth.
All right, well, let's find out about some of the things happening in the world this morning. We'll get to headlines properly at 6:30, but it's always nice to start off with something like this. Apparently, someone has discovered a lost hoard of South African gold coins that have been found in a Swiss vault. Now, this is the kind of thing I dream about this every night, and it hasn't happened to me yet.
I know.
I'm very disappointed, and I just want to complain to the dream fairies or whoever it is you complain to.
The dream team.
Yeah, that I'm really disappointed that it wasn't my dream come true. Someone else discovered this, and we don't even know who it belongs to, do we?
No, I mean, this is like a real modern fairy tale, a modern treasure discovery.
Right.
But it's all gone down in Switzerland, where in a Swiss vault, bank vault, they discovered all of these Kruger Rands. And they're known for having disappeared in bulk a number of years ago in the late 1800s, I believe. Mm-hmm. And there's been a worldwide search for them ever since, and I'm sure most people have given up.
Yeah, the Kruger, yes, the Kruger Millions.
The Kruger Pond. The Kruger Pond.
Are you making that up?
That's what they are. No, that's what they're called.
All right.
Ponde, Kruger Pond.
Mm-hmm.
And they found them, so they'll probably go on auction now. So I don't know if they were found in some family's vault or some company's vault, but this is like
when you hear the word real. When you hear the word vault, like what do you picture? Because I picture something like in Harry Potter, where they unlock this very very intricate door with all of these fancy locks in it. You know, the kind of thing that has a mechanism that takes 5 seconds to unlock, you know, clunk, 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 and then it goes, and then something moves, and then when it opens up, it's like this huge big room with these very, very thick walls, obviously, to protect everything in the vault, and then you've got just treasures, you know, gold piled up, and artifacts.
Yes.
All that stuff.
You know, usually I'm the one with the wild and vivid imagination.
Yeah, I know.
Just expected those clinical ones where you go in with a key and they leave you alone for a second and you just open a single drawer.
Well,
no. When I hear vault, I think of where my second husband will take me for our first date to show me the life that he has in store for me.
Oh God,
that's what I think. All
right, well, I closed it down, but I used to have like a safety deposit box at the bank when I still had like cash and that kind of thing lying around, you know, back in the old days when we all had cash lying around. It wasn't even a lot of money.
I think those are so fabulous.
Yeah, but it's just a little box, basically. It's a little box with a key, and you get to keep two copies of the key. I think the bank keeps one, but they actually have to fetch it from some vault, and then they bring it to whichever branch you ask them to. And it's got a number on it and a sticker with – it's not – I don't think it has your name. Just has a number, and then you open it, but it's a little – it's like a drawer, basically. It's about the same depth and width as a normal, like a kitchen drawer. And then you put all whatever you want to put in there. You could put a, you know, a watch, or you could put a ring, or you could put some cash or whatever. And obviously, these people put some Kruger Rands in. Whoever they
Kruger are. Kruger Ponder.
So how much in Kruger Ponder, how much gold was in this safety deposit box/vault?
So I'm just trying to see if they mention it, because I actually haven't seen an amount. You know, they call it a trove of coins.
Oh, man.
A hoard of coins.
Yeah, you see, when you talk like that, it gets my hopes up. Like it's some kind of great big treasure trove.
So they were stored in the Netherlands, firstly, during the 20th century. Yeah. This is part of the Lost Hoard, which is actually numismatic community. That's what they call it.
Wow.
That's what they're known by. And they were found independently. They were found they were graded by an independent board in Florida in the US. Each coin has been individually graded, certified, and slabbed.
Stabbed.
Not stabbed. Ooh. I mean, who stabs coins?
Stabbed. Wow. That's something else.
So the authenticity has been confirmed as between 1893 and 1900.
Wow.
They're currently in possession of the SA Mint.
Oh,
and are available for purchase along with the 2019 limited edition Privy Marked Krugerrand. And this is what's known as the remnants of the Transvaal gold that went missing.
So that is where Kruger's Millions went then, because people have been digging up various locations around the country. They thought maybe he'd buried it in the Kruger National Park when he left the country. So old Paul Kruger, if this is his stuff, if this is the trove that he tried to hide away, because this is legendary. That's kind of a boring end to the big legend, because they thought it might have been buried under the floorboards of his house in Pretoria or in his old family farm, which is near Rustenburg. People said that it had gone all the way to what was then called Lorenzo Marx, which is now Maputo. That there was some rocket was buried under. You know, there was an exciting adventure attached to this thing, but clearly that's all bollocks because it's gone.
Well, still, I think it's still fascinating because, I mean, if you think about it, during those times, how it would have had to have been transported from South Africa to the Netherlands and then to Switzerland. I mean, the things that could have gone wrong during that trip, heists and, floods and...
You know, we've got our Blind History series, a podcast series, which is so popular, and we've got it on cliffcentral.com. If you haven't caught up with it, there's an episode about Paul Kruger, and actually he got on a ship that was sent for him by the Queen of Holland. She sent him a ship to Lorenzo Marx Maputo, picked him up, and then he came all the way back. So he must have had those coins with him then. I'd still like to know how many there were altogether. They obviously not saying. And now the South African Mint will let you buy them.
And you know who was most likely to have made the ship that was sent?
Mm-hmm.
My family.
How come?
Oh.
So, you know, my family surname is van der Staat.
Yeah.
And they were the shipbuilders of the Netherlands.
The Schepenbouwers, yeah? The Schepenbouwers.
Yeah, exactly.
That's fantastic. Wow.
That's pretty cool so to
you,
think of.
I hope you guys got
That's
paid.
Quite an awesome heritage.
Because if you guys didn't get paid, you probably should get a coin or two out of this trove, don't you think? I would lay a claim if I were you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. So I'll get on it. Today's to-do list.
Why I thought it would be good to bring up the stories, because I watched a classic movie on Saturday. I was at home. I decided, bugger this, I'm actually going to be lazy and a slob. And I turned on the TV and I was just vegetating on the sofa as I usually would if I was in that kind of mood. And I put on Casino, you know, the movie with Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci and Sharon Stone. What a great movie.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's like a great Las Vegas mob movie. And in the movie, Sharon Stone is a druggie, and she's married to Robert De Niro's character, Sam Rosenstein, I think his name is. And she, is really high, and she storms out of the house, and she steals the car, the key for the safety deposit box in the bank, which we were just talking about now. And she rides to the bank as fast as she can in her car, gets there, gets to the manager, says, "You got to open up the box. I've got the key." She signs for it. She opens up the box and there's just all this cash in there. And she puts it all into like a duffel bag and throws it into the boot of her car. And he can't do anything about it because she's one of the signatories for the safety deposit box. And I see Jamie actually says in the comments here, you cannot actually keep cash in a safety deposit box in the US. Apparently you can't do that. It's not right. It's not legal. Which is interesting. I mean, if you did have a treasure and you wanted to keep some of it in a safe place, would you put it in the bank in a safety deposit box? Because it could be stolen. Where would you put it? I mean, if you were Paul Kruger fleeing the country and you wanted to hide your gold somewhere, obviously a Swiss bank account's a good place to put anything because those are pretty safe. And it's taken us 100 years, 120 years, actually, to discover these.
Well, let's be realistic. If it was these times, I don't think the likelihood of keeping your stash in your house is going to be really a good outcome.
No.
Because of crime, etc. Yeah.
And also if people think you have money or they think you have some kind of treasure, whether it's gold or jewels or watches or something precious, you know, whatever it might be. I'm imagining like, you know, emeralds or rubies or diamonds or something. If you had to hide that stuff in your house, the chances are someone would turn your house upside down and find it if they thought that you had it. So obviously you'd want to put it somewhere where people wouldn't immediately think that was the right place to go. And I don't know where I'd start. I don't know where I'd look to hide the thing. I mean,
well, we know how we would transport it, don't we? The same way that we believe that cash in transit should be transported.
Yeah, well, by old ladies and Unos so that it doesn't draw attention. You don't that's not the time to hire like one of those big vans that transports cash, the cash in transit vans, because those are precisely the ones that get hit by criminals. So you just very quietly get an old lady in a little car, inconspicuous as hell. She must drive really slowly and really badly. And people will go, oh, these old people. Meanwhile, in the back of her car, she's got your treasure. But where are you going to take it? Exactly. That's the question, right?
I know. Mm-hmm.
So they found a jewel the other day, a piece of the crown of King Charles I, who had his head cut off, obviously.
Did the stone fall out when his head was cut off?
No. So what happened was he was defeated at a battle in the north of England, and they found this guy was, you know, you've got all these amateur people who go around with those metal detectors and they go beep, 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 beep.
Half the time people think are little bonkers.
Yeah, and they've made TV shows about these people and they are crazy. They're crazy people. They go along the beach and they kind of beep, 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 and then they maybe find, you know, someone's gold tooth that fell out or something. Because gold usually doesn't wear down or react with anything. And it's very hard to make gold into anything else. So usually it lasts for hundreds, if not thousands of years. Anyway, this guy, he was searching around the north of England and he dug around under the base of this very old oak tree and he found a jewel. It's probably about as long as your index finger. And it's like shaped in the shape of it's solid gold. It's in the shape of a king with a crown on. It's got a little bit of enamel and some lettering on it. Now, apparently it comes off the original crown of King Charles I. So that would be one of the very, very rare pieces of the crown jewels before Cromwell melted most of them down and sold it as gold or silver or gemstones or whatever. And this was maybe hidden away by the king's men when they were running away from the field of battle, I think at Naseby or one of those battles. Lewes or one, I can't remember which one it was. Anyway, he must have dug a hole. They must have dug a hole and hidden this thing under the tree. And here it is, you know, 500 years later, and it's been dug out from under the tree. So that just shows you if you really hide something well, you know, they might only discover it a couple of hundred years after you're gone, but you'll be the only person who knows. And do you remember in Shawshank Redemption, I think it was?
Mm-hmm.
They hid some cash in a box under a tree as well. You better remember which tree it was. Can you imagine digging around?
Yeah, that's the tricky part.
You know, you've dug up like 10 trees and you still haven't found your treasure again. It's pretty amazing. I love these treasure hunt stories. It just makes me really excited. I don't know why. All right.
That is impressive.
Yeah, it's cool. So there's a couple of stories of people finding treasure. Now let's all go out today and find our own, right? That would be nice.
I'm sure there's something hiding in my parents' house behind like the exercise equipment that no one has touched in 10 years. There's like three things: a juicer, a yogurt maker that no one ever uses now. I'm sure there's something behind there.
You reckon they've just piled stuff on top of it?
Worth investigating.
I wonder if there are people who've been buried with precious things. You know, like the ancient.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like the ancient Egyptians. Like if people have been, they said in their will, you better bury me with my wedding ring on, for example. You know, that happens to people.
But what for?
I know. It's stupid, right?
I wonder, because when, you know, these days, I don't know, in my culture, at least, we just do cremations.
What's your culture?
So we don't, I don't know. You know, there. Who knows? It's a mishmash. But let's just say that everyone I know, besides a handful of people, cremates their loved ones. So right. We never get the chance to think about burying things with bodies. But I wonder if you're actually allowed to do things like bury someone's cat with them or...
I don't see why
an item of sorts.
You can't bury something live with them, obviously. That would be completely wrong.
No, no. Let's say the lady was really connected to her cat and the cat died when she did. Mm. Would you be allowed to bury the cat in there?
I don't see why not.
I think so.
I don't know who's going to stop you.
I think it was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
There was the story of this rich person in Nigeria, I think, who was buried with their car.
Was that Queen of Vagina? So,
no, it wasn't Queen of Vagina.
Just checking.
I don't know how, like, I think that...
She's the most famous person in Nigeria I can think of.
And she is undoubtedly... We haven't played her song in a while, actually. No,
and we're not going to play it now.
Yeah.
No.
I don't know if the corpse gets put into, like, the driver's seat and then they just put the whole car in there.
The whole car.
Or, but when it comes to someone like Aretha Franklin recently, she had, while she was still lying in a state of wake, she had outfit changes as per what her instructions. And she wanted outfit changes over the days. And then finally, she was buried in like this big poofy gown that looked like a giant red rose.
Well, let me tell you, and, Sis Ree, as we used to call her, you know, close friends of the family. Mm-hmm. She was a big woman, so to change her would have been a very tough task. I'm glad that was not my business.
With dead weight.
Yeah.
I don't want to think that my corpse was being flopped around and stuffed into different outfits.
Yeah, dressed up.
Just leave me be.
Just, you know, whatever, really. Yeah, whatever I was wearing, like tracksuit pants and a vest with food stains on it, just cover it up.
No.
Just put a blanket up to here and it'll be fine.
No. You have last night's cheese sauce on you.
I heard a really bizarre story, and it only stuck in my head because the person who this happened to is like in their 40s, and I thought, wow, that's apparently this guy, and I thought of you, Leanne. This guy had sleep apnea. He'd never really had it diagnosed, and he used to snore very badly, and then he'd you know, stop breathing, which is what sleep apnea does.
Yeah.
And he died in his sleep. Now, he died of sleep apnea. There's nothing else that happened. You know, they've kind of done. But the guy, he stopped breathing for so long that basically his brain stopped functioning.
Now, yeah.
I didn't realize that could happen. That's pretty devastating, first of all. But at the same time, it's not the worst way to go. You basically fall asleep, right?
Yeah. Look, you sometimes are aware of it, but I suppose that's because it wakes you up. So yeah, you would probably just fall asleep and never wake up again.
So for him,
it is quite a good way to go.
I mean, even though he's quite young, for him, that's not the worst way to go. But for everyone around him, it's like, oh my God, he died of sleep apnea. I didn't know it could kill you.
Well, the thing is, it probably makes people scared of going to sleep, doesn't it? Because they think, if they live alone, what if I have it and I don't know?
Right.
So it can be very scary. But usually sleep apnea will get you in other ways before it gets you in that way. So obviously having having a low level of oxygen in your body throughout the night is going to carry much huger consequences than one night of not waking up.
Jesus.
It affects your brain, your heart, your hormones, everything. Wow.
It's pretty wild, though. I mean, I didn't know that you could die from it.
Yeah, no, it's true.
I thought it was just the kind of thing where you go and wake up, but that just shows you. No.
No, it's potentially deadly in two ways. One, you could die like that, and the other is it could lead to a number of comorbidities.
What a joyful thing to talk about this morning. All right, we've got to get
Hallelujah.
We've got to get to the headlines. So let's have a look at those. Your five things you need to know this morning. First of all, have you smelt anything foul in the air? And I'm not talking about anything that you know is your fault. I'm talking about a general foul smell in the air around Johannesburg and Pretoria. Because
remember, some people have been picking it up, yeah.
So someone said to me, there's a lot of sulfur in the air, and it's coming from the power stations in Mpumalanga, right? And there are elevated levels of sulfur dioxide. That's the stuff they use to preserve, like dried fruit, for example. And it's not deadly, deadly poisonous, but it definitely has a smell, sulfur dioxide. And then there's hydrogen sulfide, which smells like rotten eggs. That's very poisonous. Mm. And they say that there are elevated levels of both of those gases, believed to have caused the stench in Mpumalanga and Gauteng. Government has launched a probe into the cause of the stink, and the findings will be available once completed. Can you imagine being in charge of that? Of the probe to find the stink? What did you
We're
do?
We're probing
week?
The stink.
I work for the government department that are looking for the probe. What are trying to find out the stink. That's what they actually said in this article. I'm not using different words here. So the stink is believed to have been a combination of the gases. Officials from the Department of Environment, Forestry and Fisheries in the Gertsibande District Municipality in Mpumalanga visited the Sasol Secunda plant on the 18th of February. And they went to check on it. Secunda is just disgusting. We should just shut that whole place down. I've always said it's such a disgusting place.
It has a massive function.
What? Putting farts into the air.
Please help them out, Leanne, because I don't know anything.
Secunda is easily one of the most dreadful places I've ever been to, and I'll explain to you why very briefly. It looks like Mordor from Lord of the Rings. It's got these chimneys that are pumping out fire and gases and smoke and steam, and it's just gross. I mean, if you live in Secunda, you've got probably about a 99% chance of dying of some kind of lung problem. It's just a gross place. They try to make it
arid there.
Well, there's this hotel, and I know Ben has been there because he's played golf on their golf course. But the town of Secunda was built by the old National Party government to run this power plant or this plant. I think it might even be one of the plants that converts, you know, coal and that kind of thing into liquid fuel. I'm not even sure what it does, but it is just disgusting. And the whole, when you drive into Secunda, all you see is this smoke and this fire and this, it really looks like the most industrial place in the world. And the town itself is, I suppose, like any other little town, except it's got this hideous thing as a backdrop. And, you know, there's this hotel and this golf course in the middle of it, which if you look the one way, looks not so bad. But if you look the other way, it genuinely looks like it's the borders of hell. It's easily the worst place in South Africa I've ever been to, easily, by a long way. So they say that's...
Okay, you clearly are not doing a bit of a staycation there.
Hell no. If you ever tell me I have to go to Secunda again, I'll do anything to go the opposite direction. So apparently they've been looking into this place because that's where they say it's coming from. Initial investigations have shown that sulfur dioxide levels were in compliance with ambient air quality standards. Levels of hydrogen sulfide, that's the more dangerous one, were found to have been elevated at times during the week in question. Extreme peaks were noted at Lebohang and Springs monitoring stations. In Pretoria, Hydrogen sulfide measurements at the South African Weather Service station in Irene Centurion showed that hydrogen sulfide exceeded the World Health Organization recommendation on the 12th, 15th, and 17th of February, with the highest peak at 61 parts per billion. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot, okay? But let me tell you something. If you have hydrogen sulfide at something like one part per million, it can kill you. Okay, so this is not so good.
I saw there were warnings to people who have compromised lungs and to the elderly to stay inside. But what good does that do? Sorry. The air is obviously going to...
Disgusting.
Excuse me.
Sorry about
the
that.
The air is obviously going to come into the house. So it comes through vents and windows.
You can't stop that. You can't, like, it's in the air all around you. It's so disgusting. Like, I don't know what to say about this. Anyway, they're going to investigate and they're going to find out what the cause of this was. So it has been recommended that other sources could have contributed to the odor that was experienced in Gauteng.
There's always another source.
Wastewater Works. The findings of the probe will be made available once completed. A stink probe. In the second big story of the morning, police killings cannot continue to be overlooked, according to PopCrew. That is the Police and Prison Civil Rights Union, PopCrew. They're distraught about the continuous killing of officers by criminals. You know, in America, we've got, people worried about the police killing innocent civilians. Well, in South Africa, we're also worried about innocent civilians killing the police. So then they're not innocent. Two cops were attacked in the early hours of this morning in Bloekombos in Cape Town in what has been described as an apparent ambush. Apparently, the pair of police people were on patrol when they were attacked by unknown suspects. The service pistols and cell phones were found missing. And they killed them. We've got to investigate this. Obviously, the police union is not the only group of people who's worried about this. And one of the people who died apparently was General Ketla Sithole was not one who died. He's the one who's conveyed his condolences to the families of those two police people. But last week, two officers were killed in a hail of bullets in Pietermaritzburg, while another was laid to rest after he was attacked by a man in Limpopo last week. So in just a week, that's five officers down. Well, that's a fairly scary number. And, you know, police have a tough enough job when they're not being killed. So you can imagine. Then another fuel price hike is on the horizon. I'm sorry to tell you this first thing on a Monday at the beginning of a new month.
Yay.
But motorists will have to dig deeper in their pockets from Wednesday. The price of petrol is expected to increase by 66 cents a litre. Diesel will go up by 57 cents a litre, and there will be 49 cents per litre rise in the price of paraffin, which some people still use to cook. The Automobile Association said that the latest price hike is due to an increased economic activity because of the global rollout of COVID-19 vaccines, firing demand for oil and subsequently higher prices. So the very vaccines that we are all hoping will keep us safe from COVID-19 are costing us a whole lot more as well.
Yeah, it's how the world turns. Yeah.
Also, the rand has performed well against the dollar, but that's not enough to ease the climb in petrol prices. And the AA, the Automobile Association, have noted they were on an eight-week streak of price hikes with no sign yet of a ceiling. So even though you might be driving a little bit less since, you know, our lives have changed with lockdown and all the rest, it's going to cost you more because the petrol price is going up. Myanmar is still undergoing a huge amount of social unrest and tension. There are protests all over the place, and the police have fired on protesters in Myanmar. Apparently, they've killed at least 18 people, according to the UN Human Rights Office. Deaths were reported in cities including Yangon, Dawei, and Mandalay, as police used live rounds and tear gas. Security forces began the crackdown on Saturday after weeks of largely peaceful protests until the February 1st military takeover. Government leaders, including Aung San Suu Kyi, were overthrown and detained. So the people of that country are outraged and are taking to the streets. Unfortunately, some of them are dying at the same time because police are trying to reclaim authority in various places. And finally, Donald Trump says he has no plans to launch a new political party. He told the conservative conference in Florida, the CPAC conference, that it would split the Republican vote. In his first speech since Joe Biden became president, I don't know how he's managed to keep himself.
That's probably the one thing that he said that's actually made sense.
Well, I mean, first of all, can we just, you know, can we just give this this guy a minute, because he's been holding back. This is probably the longest Donald Trump has ever shut up in his life publicly.
Probably about 40 days or close to it.
Can you imagine how he was going crazy? Because we know he used to tweet.
Yeah, the inauguration was on like the 20th of January, right?
Right. So
yeah, and then the whole of February he kept quiet. Okay.
He's been quiet as a mouse, and this must have killed him. Anyway, he spoke at CPAC, and he said he might run for office again in 2024, which would have put the fear of God into Democrats. Mr. Trump strongly criticized his successor, saying U.S. policy had gone from America first to America last. The speech came weeks after Trump was acquitted in an impeachment trial. His appearance at CPAC in Orlando on Sunday represents his continued influence over the Republican Party. The mood of the conference, which apparently began on Thursday, has been extremely pro-Trump. Loyalists speaking there included Texas Senator Ted Cruz, his son Donald Trump Jr., among others. The former president remains banned from social media platforms, including Facebook and Twitter, over his response to January's deadly riot at the U.S. Capitol. And he's been chilling at Mar-a-Lago, his Florida golf resort, since leaving the White House. So, if you want to know what he had to say, you can get the whole speech. It's all online now. And he spoke for quite a long time. There was a lot that was covered. And he says he's going to use the Republican Party if he does run again, and he will continue to support the Republican Party rather than split the vote. And Leanne says that's probably a sensible thing that he said.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so there we go. If you've been missing Donald Trump over the last couple of months, there we go. You got some back. Janet has a question. She's asking on Webinar Jam this morning. You can also ask us on 0797482090. We'll get to those messages in a second. Janet says, I'd love to know when Becky Taylor will be held personally responsible for accepting a monthly salary, yet failing miserably at his job. We heard the sirens going crazy as emergency vehicles were en route to the scene of a shooting. Bloekombos is an informal settlement about 12 kilometers from where we live. It's so tragic that these police officers were killed. Yeah, I don't know. You know, usually in countries where the hierarchy and the chain of responsibility is considered to be an important part of what people do, the people at the top of the chain have to resign when people somewhere in the middle of it get killed. And this should be, if we've had five police officers killed violently in the last week alone, I mean, in most police precincts and police commissions and police structures all over the world, the guy at the top would resign. He'd say, well, look, it's a disgrace that these men and women were killed in the line of duty. I take personal responsibility. Either I'm going to do something about it or I'm going to resign. It's sad that we had to have the police union speak out against this as the only body that did. You know, we've got Becky Taylor putting on his stupid hat and wandering around and, you know, arresting people for breaking lockdown regulations, like going to the beach when that was illegal, or wearing open shoes when that was illegal, or buying a tepid Woolworths chicken instead of a hot one, or, you know, any of those dumb-ass rules that we used to have to follow. And that they still will
make... some people with ugly feet, yeah. I think that should be
a rule regardless. You didn't put on a mask between when you got out of your car and walked where there was no one up to the entrance to the shop where there was finally someone and you put your mask on. And we arrest you for that because, you know, that's what police have been doing thanks to this moron and his rules. Or the rules that he's decided to implement from the stupid National Coronavirus Command Council. So anyway, Becky Taylor is, he's not going to resign. Forget about it, Janet. He's never going to be held personally responsible for anything because I don't think he has been responsible for anything in his life. So I don't know what you're hoping for, but whatever it is, unlikely.
But wouldn't that be like saying, well, then the World Health Organization should be held accountable for the number of people who are dying of heart attacks, diabetes, and obesity? It's not all within his control.
I think that No, sure. It's not entirely within his control, but he should be the first to speak about it. And he's not. He's leaving it to the unions to do that. And in this case, it would be good to see some leadership from the man who's supposedly in charge of the police, or at least a comment from him saying, hey, listen, stop killing our police people. Because we haven't heard from him for a while. The only time he speaks is to tell us, if you're out after 9 o'clock, we'll arrest you, kind of thing, you know. It's just mad. So we're at level one lockdown, and I'm wondering what that means for you, if it means any change, whether you're going back to the office, whether you'll be, you know, going out until just before midnight during the week, weekend.
Body.
Does it mean anything to you? If it means anything to you, tell us. I'd be
for me, all it means is being able to not phone family on a Friday going, oops, I did it again. I forgot to buy wine before the weekend.
Yeah, that's just a convenience. And I think it's about time that they unbanned the sale of alcohol over weekends. It's a stupid thing to do. When it almost reminds me of those times. Do you remember when you were a kid, Leanne? Sia, you're obviously too young. Sia, you're still, 14? How old are you now?
14 and a half.
Right.
You know, us youngins, we count the halves.
Do you remember, Leanne, when the old National Party was still in charge of the country and we used to have a rule that you couldn't buy alcohol on a Sunday? Some shops still maintain that rule.
It's still like that, yeah. Mm. And it had to do with religion.
It was church rules. It was a vice rule.
Yes, absolutely.
It was like...
but also...
It's the Lord's Sabbath, right?
That's right. It also carried... It was carried through for quite a while to prevent, especially in the Western Cape, a lack of people coming to work on a Monday because they were babalust.
Oh.
Mm.
Oh.
So it was a way of controlling the workers on wine farms, etc.
Oh, wow.
Even though they were paying them in alcohol, they didn't want them to come to not come to work on a Monday.
Yeah, so that's a stupid hangover rule, effectively.
Yeah.
I mean that in
exactly.
Two ways, not just one. It's a hangover of the past regime and their dumb religious rules, but also a kind of way of controlling ordinary people and stopping ordinary people from drinking on a Sunday. And you may be one of those control freaks who thinks that you can make rules for everyone else in society, but you know how I feel about that stuff. You don't get to make rules for Leanne, even if she wants to drink on a Sunday. And you don't get to tell Sia what to do. You can live your life however you'd like, but you don't get to expand that authority over other people. Even if you're government, leave people alone. I'm strictly libertarian about this kind of stuff.
Correct.
So Sia, I just wanted to
ask. There's just certain like gray areas that I'm not understanding with moving to level one, and why specifically level one and not just, hey, go and live your lives now. Because the president had me counting when he mentioned there will only be 5 airports that will allow international travel. And I thought, well, don't we only just have 5?
I thought we only had 3 that did international travel. I thought we had OR Tambo in Johannesburg, King Shaka in Durban, and Cape Town International Airport. Those are the only 3 that go internationally, don't they? I mean, I didn't...
Well, then he counted Lanseria, and you also count the Kruger. But I mean, if we want to be technical, isn't Upington Airport also technically international? Because you can fly from there to like Namibia.
Well, I hope not. No one should be...
And the Seychelles.
No one should be allowed to leave the country through Upington. That's embarrassing.
Landing in Upington was one of my best experiences ever. The same guy who, they have those lights and they're the ones who direct the planes on where to land, was the same guy who ran into the building and then came back out driving a trolley or wagon situation, who was the same guy who offloaded our luggage, and then was also the same guy who dealt with that.
This one dude called, to do everything.
Conveyor belt.
The conveyor belt of our luggage, and I thought, Jesus. my, you are.
And then he put on a suit and a hat, and he was the same guy who took you in your taxi to the hotel.
I'm sure he was operating the boom gate afterwards and was selling his peanuts at the robots.
He probably flew the plane as well afterwards. You know, yes. took it back to Joburg. Why did you go to Upington again?
Why was I there?
Yeah, it's a good. You have to have a good reason to go there.
Oh wait, no, I think it was with our campaign with MTN or something.
Okay, that's probably what it was.
It was a work thing. It wasn't for pleasure.
Yeah. No. Book a holiday to Upington. Right.
Gosh, you sound horrible. We land base Secunda, now it's Upington.
Yes, sorry. But these are terrible places that we're just trying to warn our audience. Don't go there on a holiday. And if you can, don't even drive through there. Jesus. A lot of people are asking about the little teaser, the little promo that there is about Prince Harry and Meghan Markle talking to Oprah Winfrey. You've watched the trailer. What can you tell us?
I lapped up all 30 seconds of it. It's just enough.
Let me it play is, it for you. Here it is. Here's 30
it's
seconds.
The Holy Trinity on screen.
This is Oprah.
So give it to us in 30 seconds or less.
Okay.
We have to keep a time limit on Sia. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to play you the actual thing and then we'll hear Sia's thoughts on this. Listen to this.
Were you silent or were you silenced? I just want to make it clear to everybody there is no subject that's off limits. Almost unsurvivable sounds like there was a breaking point.
My biggest concern was history repeating itself.
You've said some pretty shocking things here. Wait, hold up, wait a minute.
Oh God, okay, so they don't say much that Harry, they don't play much of what Harry and Meghan said, but it's all Oprah asking these hardcore questions like, you've said some pretty outrageous things here. Doesn't make you want to watch?
Silence? Or were you silenced?
So the history repeating itself thing was obviously Harry being scared that for his wife's sake, that she would end up like his mother. And you can't blame him for that. I mean, that stuff sticks in your head forever.
Jeez. Yeah. So over this weekend, what happened was, so this interview will air on CBS, and the clip is also courtesy of CBS. They will air it on the 7th of March, Sunday the 7th of March. But over the weekend, they announced that it was originally scheduled for just 90 minutes. They've now increased it to 2 hours. And also what happened, I think it was on Thursday or Friday, we didn't cover it on the show, was that the Queen announced that she will be making a special announcement before the airing of the interview.
Oh boy.
The palace remains that it has nothing to do with the interview, but also the palace has also confirmed that they didn't receive the episode or this interview, and they will not be receiving it before it airs. So I think the Queen will be saying something very, you know, kumbaya,
generic,
but also trying to cover her tracks. I think she'll say something nice about Harry, just as a drop in as well, just to cover herself in this 2 hour
interview.
In
other words, to make it look like they're not fighting.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. But also, James Corden released this interview that he did with Prince Harry over the weekend.
Yeah, I saw that.
And after watching that, I don't think they're actually fighting.
No.
Yeah, no, it didn't seem that way. So James Corden and Harry had tea as a joke on top of an open deck bus, like a tour sightseeing bus in LA. And the conversation was very casual about, you know, he spoke fondly of his grandmother.
Look, I'm
and
sorry.
Said he hasn't left them.
I'm going to apologize up front for people who don't really care about the Prince Harry or Meghan, and I'm maybe one of those people, but it is a big story, so at least you know, you can still roll your eyes and go, oh, when people at the office or, you know, friends and family say to you, oh,
or your favorite Gareth, where?
You just go, where? But at least you'll know what's going on, and that's kind of why I'm interested in this, because I could care less about Harry and Meghan. But here's James Corden talking to Harry, and it looked to me like quite a cool interview on top of the bus. They had a tea tray there, and you know, it was meant to be high tea on top of the bus while James Corden was giving Harry a tour of LA.
We all know what the British press can be like, and it was destroying my mental health. I was really? Like, this is toxic.
Yeah.
So I did what any husband and what any father would do, is like, I need to get my family out of here. But we never walked away. And as far as I'm concerned, whatever decisions are made on that side, I will never walk away. I will always be contributing, but my life is public service. So wherever I am in the world, it's going to be the same thing.
All right, so that's basically the, and James Corden had a very fun interview. Like, they FaceTimed Meghan from outside the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air's house, and, you know, he jokingly said they should move there because then he can be the new Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And there's a clip where Harry is singing, you know, in West Philadelphia, born and raised on the playground is where I spend most of my days, all that stuff that any white guy can rap. I mean,
which, by the way, I definitely think he was prepped for. There is no way Prince Harry knew the lyrics to that.
See, how old is Harry? Is he just a bit younger than me? He's maybe 8 years younger than me at most. Every guy,
like 35. I think.
Every white guy in the world knew that song. I promise you, we all watched The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air because there was no TV that was any better than The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And Will Smith was cool then, he's still cool now, and everybody knew the words. It was on every single week. We learnt it because we just had to. We knew the theme tune.
Look, I always say I'm an equal lover and an equal hater, and for this, I'm just going to be frank as well. There's a certain mystery to keeping quiet. There's a certain allure to, ooh, we don't really hear from them, and we don't, you know, we just see them walking in and out of cars and in and out of palaces. That's why the Queen is so mysterious and she's so regal, partially because we don't really hear much from her. I watched this, the James Corden thing, and I thought, nah, okay.
Yeah.
I see
And I totally agree with you. You know what? Frankly, there is something to be said for people who keep this stuff to themselves. And
I see this regular guy
in a modern world where we all share everything on social media. I mean, there isn't anything left to chance. There isn't anything left to the mystery. Everybody's out there on Instagram and YouTube and Snapchat and Twitter and TikTok and God knows whatever else. And they're sharing everything, including their relationships, their health, their financial ups and downs, their pets, their family, everything that they can. I mean, I see so many people now who are sharing pictures of their kid virtually from the moment they're born until, you know, the kid's 21 and has its own social media by that stage. And I'm like, where is the private time? And you're quite right. Like, part of the reason that the Queen remains this figure of huge interest is because she's never done an interview since she became queen, and you won't get her to. She never answers direct questions. Everything about her is curated and controlled, and it keeps her above the fray that the rest of us are in, where we're sharing everything.
Yeah.
It's enough.
And now seeing Prince Harry so regular, I thought and still think it's actually a good thing that they stepped back from the royal family, because would we even be talking about them now?
No.
He would have been married. He'll never be, you know, the king.
Yeah.
So he'll just be a dude.
It would all still be rumors about his strained relationship with his brother and the two sister-in-law's strained relationship.
Nah.
I'm going to say it again.
So, yeah.
Where? Who cares?
But I'll still watch. I'll still watch all 2 hours. I think it will air in the early morning South African time. So hopefully I would have watched it by the time we start the show next Monday.
I'm just going to say it again, that the real currency of the future is going to be privacy. Whatever you can keep private, whatever you can keep for yourself, that really precious time that it's you and someone you love, or that time where it's you and your family, or it's just you on your own, even, frankly, that is going to be gold in the future, because everyone's sharing everything. And it's so damn difficult for people to decide what's valuable in the world right now. One of the things that's valuable is your time.
This is exactly why I've never shown you guys my lower back tattoo.
Very good. And you keep it that way, Sia. I think we'll manage without seeing that. All right, everybody, it's 7 o'clock. We'll be back in a moment or two with the rest of the show. And we've got lots to talk about today. We want to hear from you. 0797482090.
CliffCentral.com.